earlier when they featured him on the front page of the business section. He had worn a silver herringbone weave Armani over a black silk t-shirt for the photo session. The corner of an ebony silk handkerchief peeked strategically from the breast pocket. The black and white photograph was carefully posed and lighted to leave half his face in shadow. The photographer, a black-clad young Japanese man with a shock of bright pink hair, chose to shoot in black and white because, in the photographer's words, he was going for a yin-yang effect to fully capture Keir's inner complexities. The photographer was good at his craft. Keir's expression revealed a leaky confidence. While the photograph was the same, the headline could not have been more different. Not many people get to read their own obituary. Local real estate mogul dies in automobile crash. Utah real estate developer James Keir was pronounced dead after his car collided with a concrete pylon on southbound I-80. Rescue workers labored for more than an hour to remove the Salt Lake man's body from the wreckage. Authorities believe Keir may have had a heart attack prior to swerving off the road. Keir was the president of Keir Company, one of the West's largest real estate development firms. He was known as a fierce, oftentimes ruthless businessman. He once said, "If you want to make friends, join a book club. If you want to make money, go into business. Only a fool confuses the two." Keir is survived by his son, James Keir II, and his wife, Sarah. See page one of the business section for more on James Keir. Keir put the paper down. "Some idiot's going to lose his job over this," he thought. He had no idea what the article was about to set in motion. Chapter 2. Celeste Hatt. Single mother, 29 years old. Son, Henry, 7. Ms. Hatt lost her home after you persuaded her to purchase a larger home than she could afford by putting her entire life savings into the down payment. 6 months later, you sold her home at a sizable profit after foreclosing on it. Ms. Hatt's current whereabouts unknown. One day earlier. Celeste Hatt rooted through a box of children's books, looking for the thinnest in the stack. It was definitely a short story night. Barely 9 o'clock, she was already exhausted. The single mother routine never seemed to get easier. During the day when her son, Henry, was at school, she worked as a checker at Smith's Food and Drug. Weekend evenings, she waited tables at the Blue Plate Grill, a small diner half a mile from her home. In addition to her two jobs, nearly every night she assembled circuit boards at home for a local electronics firm. Her tiny kitchen was stacked to the ceiling with brown cardboard boxes printed with Chinese characters. On most nights, after dinner, the dishes, and her son's homework, she and Henry would watch TV while she snapped the circuit board components together. The process wasn't so much technical as it was tedious, something a machine would be better suited to doing. All the same, it was extra money. $2.50 a board times 5 an hour equaled $30 a night. Between her jobs, household chores, and raising an active 7-year-old boy, the only time Celeste had for herself were the few minutes between when Henry went to bed and when her own head hit the pillow. It's been said that the best way to extend the day is to steal a few hours from the night, but there's a price to pay for all theft, and it showed in Celeste's dark ringed eyes. She settled on a book from the pile and carried it into Henry's tiny bedroom. Henry was already in bed, the room illuminated by a small lamp on the floor. "Hey, buddy," she said. "How about the Grinch? It's getting near Christmas." "Okay," he said, leaning up on one elbow. She sat down on the side of the bed and opened the book. Henry brushed a wayward strand of silky blonde hair from his face. "Mom, how long are we going to have to live here?" She looked up from the book. "I don't know, honey. A while." "How long's a while?" "I wish I knew." "I don't like it here. I want to go back to our house." Celeste had scrimped, sacrificed, and saved for 3 years to get them into a home of their own, only to lose it and their down payment just 5 months later. Now they were living in a run-down 2-bedroom duplex, looking out on the busy thoroughfare of 7th East,